things get a little bit festive. But this is especially Holly Jolly.
Did you tell the police she was ran over by a reindeer?
Yep. Witchy candy cane stuff. Ah! That made me marry!
A gingerbread girl amateur hour.
Don't be scared, egg. It got no legs. It's just a tail with a face. That's all.
Okay, this is an interesting argument coming from somebody who would rather die than touch a spider.
They have eight! Eight legs!
They're little!
They have... Not all of them are legs.
Not all. Most of the ones around here are little.
But they have eight legs.
Yes, they do.
That's far too many.
This is...
Six is pushing it. And then, like, 100 is just comical.
A centipede?
Yeah, it's just
I don't like centipedes.
Oh, really?
No. I don't... I'm not afraid of them, but I don't like them.
I like when they do, like, the wave. Like...
No. Mm-mm. It's demonic.
Okay, fair. I just think anything more than eight is just like a parody of legs to me. It's like satirical comedy.
I don't like it.
Okay. Eight is my sweet spot. I'm very scared.
Like an octopus?
Yeah, but like I don't mind octopuses because they just like bloop, bloop.
So then the legs isn't the problem, Jenny.
There's not, they're just noodles. Spiders are crunchy. I don't like things with eight legs that are crunchy. I don't like crabs.
Okay.
Crabs I find very spooky.
Really?
They're water spiders.
Yes,
they're delicious. But I don't like when they like, I don't like it.
Freaks me out. My new hire today and I had the longest conversation about textures in food and what we will and will not tolerate.
Oh, okay. Go on.
It was back to the sweet potato latte conversation.
Okay.
But then she was like, I really like cottage cheese, and I almost gagged.
I love cottage cheese.
Oh god, it's disgusting. Absolutely no.
Really? Is it the lumps?
Yeah, it's the lumps. Tapioca pudding, I'm out. Boba tea, no thank you.
I'm also out on tapioca. I do like boba, but I can't do yogurt, especially if it has fruit in it. I don't like pudding.
I like yogurt if I can put my own fruit in it. That's what I have for breakfast almost every morning is yogurt with fruit.
Okay.
But I have to have granola on it, so I have a crunch.
Crunch. Mm-hmm.
And I can't think too hard about the yogurt because then I think of like probiotics and that they're like live.
Mm-hmm.
And I get freaked out, so I just have to eat really fast.
But it's like the same thing as yeast. And you don't get freaked out when you eat yeast.
No. Mm-mm. But you know when we were... middle school and they came out with Go-Gurt.
Yeah, oh my god.
Oh god, disgusting. That's absolutely the most foul snack I had ever seen in my life. Even as like a 13-year-old, I was like, I want nothing to do with this.
The tiny human loves yogurt in a tube.
That's disgusting.
It grosses. I don't like the popsicles in a tube. I don't like food in a tube.
Oh, I could do popsicles in a tube. That's fine.
I don't like it.
Have you ever had one of the alcoholic popsicles in a tube?
No, I don't like the idea of putting my mouth on the outside of a food container.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah.
I never would have thought of before Corona, but.
Well, here we are.
Yeah.
You know how many hands? Like somebody had to stock it on the shelf.
Not if you get in a box. Like, you got to get the popsicles in a box.
I will still, like, I, that's, yeah, but somebody had, how do they get it in there?
Hopefully a machine. In my head, it's a machine.
Okay, well.
Leave it be.
Okay.
Let me imagine it.
I'm going to leave it alone and let you have your food in a tube. I will continue to wipe down the outside of my sodas and.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Yeah, I can't think about it too hard or else I will become a hermit and never leave my house.
Do you know what I can't think about?
What?
Too much. The FDA. Allows
oh no
a certain ratio
uh-huh
of rat and insect bits in tuna, canned tuna.
I will never be able to eat tuna again.
I'm sorry.
That's the only seafood that I eat and it's only canned tuna.
There is a lot of tuna that is processed like on the giant boats that they fish them out of, so they're like caught fresh, canned fresh, quote unquote.
Uh-huh.
But all of the rats and all of the bugs that live on the boat or like on the docks, in the factories, there's rats in your tuna fish.
I'm disgusted.
Rats are the chicken of the sea.
I remember a long time ago, my middle sister, Kara, watched a documentary on food processing.
Ooh, no, I can't.
I watched her nearly become anorexic out of fear right before my eyes. She was like, I can't eat anything. They all have bugs in it.
That is such a real thing, though. Food phobias can spiral into eating disorders like that because the idea of things in your food that's going to make you sick.
Yeah.
That's like a real thing. Some people are like that with chicken. That's why a lot of people don't eat meat because they're scared that it's going to make them sick.
Listen, I like food too much to have fear, so I just need to live in ignorant bliss.
That's fair.
Soylent Green is rats.
Just kidding, it's people.
You know what today is?
What?
Christmas.
Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells.
I just realized that.
I just realized that too. Merry Christmas.
Merry Grimace.
Merry Grimace.
Sorry to end our food conversation. I just had this realization that like today, the day that this is coming out, it is finally Christmas.
Oh my God. The most anticipated day since Halloween. It's here.
Yay.
And it's also Folklore Day.
It is Folklore Day. Are we doing presents today?
Yeah, I have presents for you.
I have presents for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you want to?
Yeah.
Taylor, don't edit out the wrapping paper ASMR.
I'm not going to edit it out.
Oh, I should hold have on, you
told
might.
You to brought bring a knife, but you'll be fine. There you go.
Oh, there Good we job. Go. Are you going to open yours?
Oh, yeah. Do you want at the same time? Ooh, this is heavy. Oh my gosh!
Hold on, but you're faster than me!
I know! Oh no, I'm stuck. I see it. It's a true crime calendar! Oh, so much inspo is gonna come from this. I can't wait.
Wait, I don't know how to open this.
I just have one little baby piece of tape on the bottom.
Oh, okay.
There you go. There'd be two things in there for you.
Oh, Taylor!
Gotta look at the other side.
We're on a mug! Oh my God! Wow, it's actually us.
It's us.
How'd you do that?
I don't know, the magic of the internet.
Oh my God! Oh, I love it. I'm like holding it up like I'm Vanna White, but it's a podcast.
We will put all the things on the Instagram.
All the photos. Okay.
All
right. Item number two.
Oh, Jesus.
Scared me.
Sorry.
Oh my God. Taylor!
Aren't they cute?
Oh my God, they are so cute! They're like these little jars of, all my crystals. Witch crystals.
Witch rocks. Witch rocks!
Oh, they are so adorable! Oh my gosh, these are so cute.
Oh my gosh, Jenny! What is it? Oh my gosh! It's a blanket with the Marauders map on it! It's so cute!
Do you like it?
Yes, it's gonna go up in my lounge room.
It's for your Harry Potter room!
Thank you! It's so cute. Oh my gosh, no, I'm gonna leave it in here so I can have a blanket.
Oh, okay. Oh, I love this. Thanks, Tay!
Merry Christmas!
Jingle bells. Jingle bells.
I can't. I would also try to sing, but then I'd have to edit myself out, and that's a lot of work.
I should be edited out. Oh my gosh. I'm going to stick these in here, like, very gently. Thanks, Tay.
Thank you.
Aww.
I
promise I will find...
The last one?
The last one. I lost a whole ass gift. It's fine. It's somewhere in my house.
We'll find it.
They'll show up.
Yeah.
Might be March.
Yeah.
We'll have a Christmas in July.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, didn't you tell me that one was going to be in March? We said something.
That, yes, there is one that is going to be in March.
Oh my God. Okay. All right.
But that is unrelated.
I see. Okay, cool.
Okay.
That's going to be like the 1 year anniversary podcast gift.
Yes.
Correct. Got it. Okay.
This is an actual Christmas gift.
Okay.
And it's lost in my house. So,
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Jingle bells. I have to stop. I've been annoying my entire staff all day with that.
That's my favorite. I love it when I can annoy people by my antics. My husband mostly. That's fun.
Love that. Oh my gosh. Okay. Are we wanting to get like down and dirty?
Yes. Are you going first for folklore? We decided yes.
Yes.
Because I went first for true crime.
Yes. Thank you. I know I'm the only one who cares.
You are. But that's okay.
I find it very important. This is why I'm going to therapy.
Hey, you know what? I am happy to have you have the one thing that you're like, this is how this has to go.
This is something I can control.
Because I know my controlling ass is insane about 90% of the things that we do. I'm willing to give you this 10%.
I'm like, I want to play. I want to control something.
We can't control anything else in our lives, so no. We will control the tiny things that we can.
Here we go. And this is the birth of anxiety.
Oh, we what? Are. I'm so sorry.
You scared me.
Welcome to the podcast called A Little Bit Grim, where we scare the shit out of each other.
That made me marry.
We are dedicating this episode today to our dear friend, Amanda. She was in a pretty bad car accident a couple of nights ago, and we are wishing her all the best and a speedy recovery, and the entire Grimm Gang family is thinking of you and sending you all the good juju vibes.
We love you.
We love you. Feel better soon. We're going to come see you soon, if we can. Thanks to the Rona. Okay.
Okay.
Now you may start.
Okay. So, I don't know if anybody is surprised, but we are revisiting the pagan wheel of the year.
I'm so excited. I'm kind of bummed that we're going to run out of these.
I know, me too. But there's eight, and I think I've only covered three.
Okay.
This year.
Yeah, we did Ostara, mm-hmm. Mabon.
And now.
This one.
Yule. Which I know today is Christmas, so like in the Western world, we think of this as Yule. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting it. Okay.
Just start at the beginning.
Okay. Very in the good days
place to start. Sorry, I said I wasn't gonna sing, and here I am.
I love it. Leave it in. Leave it in. Okay. In the days before Christmas, many of us are running around like fiends, trying to get last-minute Christmas shopping done, or trying not to be killed on the way to the grocery store by like crazy drivers, crazed on like nutmeg, and driven mad by sleep deprivation and like screaming children.
And then there's crazy people out there who drink eggnog for fun.
It's good if there's whiskey in it.
It's too thick.
You like milkshakes or smoothies? Mm. Here we are back at food textures again. All right, moving on. Okay. Most of us have already selected our trees and decorated them with lights and ornaments and crowned them with a star. And the pile of presents underneath has been continually growing. And stockings are hung on the chimneys with care and hopes that Saint Nicholas will soon be there, prowling into our living rooms and eating sacrificial food and depositing gifts made by elves. Or I guess he technically did that last night.
Yes.
Yes. We will be burning our Yule logs and hanging a wreath on our doors and what normies consider to be a celebration of the birth of the Son of God. And we will eat feasts and sing jingle bells and songs about flying reindeer and magical sleighs. But why?
But why?
But why though?
Tell me everything.
Why all the weirdness in ritual and like la-di-da?
Because witches.
I'll fucking tell you.
Please do.
It's Yule. It is everyone's favorite game show where I explain the pagan wheel of the year for like the 80th time on this podcast. And you already know what I'm going to say. And like nobody really cares. But I'm going to tell ya anyway. Okay. So Yule corresponds to the winter solstice because pagans are obsessed with stars and seasons. The winter solstice is the longest night of the year. So if you have seasonal depression, you should feel like a little bit bolstered by that fact because mm-hmm. from here on out, we gain about 2 minutes of sunlight every day until the summer solstice.
And that can just be your bright and shiny every single day?
You get 2 more minutes of sunshine.
2 more.
You've gotten through the darkest part of the year.
Yeah.
And here we are. The light is returning to us.
I just think it's really beautiful. The night that we look forward to, those of us who are holiday crazy like we are, we look forward to the longest day of the year and or the longest night of the year. And then it's over and we're getting daylight back. So it's mm-hmm. like we just get to keep looking forward.
Like
to
more and more and yeah. more and more. Yeah. So Litha, which is the summer solstice, we will gain 2 minutes of sunlight every day until then. The Oak King, which I've talked about before, has officially overtaken the Holly King in the ever-waging war between the two in the battle for light and dark. The Oak King and the Holly King are dual aspects of a singular god represented by the waxing and waning of the sun in the northern hemisphere. So our southern hemisphere friends actually just celebrated their Litha, their summer solstice, on December 21st.
Hmm.
But it's not about them right now. It's about Yule.
Love you. It's about us.
It's about us. God, let me have it. A depraved blood orgy celebrated for thousands of years that was in fact so heinous that Christmas was banned from being celebrated by Puritans in 1660.
Ooh.
And Christmas wasn't a recognized holiday again in New England until 1856.
What?
Yep. So before anybody verbally assaults you over your Starbucks cup, please remember that Christians took Christ out of Christmas first.
Ah, I want that on a coffee mug.
I will put it on a Starbucks cup.
Starbs.
Starbs.
Now's your time to shine.
Sponsor us. Christmas was so outlawed that celebrating was a criminal offense and traditional foods such as mince pies and puddings were banned.
What?
It was also illegal to dance, sing, decorate, have seasonal plays, or drink.
So you're just not allowed to like anything.
You're not allowed to there's like no merrymaking.
No joy.
Full stop. You see, up until 1660, the pagan ties to Yule were still so strong that the Puritans or Protestant Christians felt that it was an insult to God to honor a day associated with heretics.
Hmm. Okay.
So how did we get here? I'm glad nobody asked me. I will tell you anyway. The origins of the winter solstice, holy days, and festivals have been heavily debated by historians and scholars for thousands of years, although most contemporary and classical scholars tend to agree that most of its traditions and rituals originate in Sumeria, also known as ancient Babylon. In Babylonian tradition, the winter solstice was used to represent the death and rebirth of the sun god Nimrod. The great hunter, I know, I laughed about it.
You're friggin' Nimrod.
Thanks, Dad. I'm trying to, like, not mock the old gods, but, like, honestly. So Nimrod was a great hunter whose death and rebirth were symbolized through the astronomical event of the winter solstice. Although the Babylonians are generally credited with most winter solstice traditions and rituals, other theorists have pointed out monolithic structures such as the stone. Oh, my God. The henges, like Stonehenge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Giant stone circles and other monolithic structures dating back 10,000 years or more. Newgrange is another example. Predating Babylon.
Wow.
And accurately measured and marked the winter solstice, saying that even earlier civilizations acknowledged it at the very least. So, like, all of these, and they're all over. There's, like, some in the southern hemisphere, some in the northern hemisphere. There's some in Ireland.
Okay.
But they all mark either where the sun rises or sun sets uh-huh. on December solstice and the winter solstice.
I love it.
I love it, too. Due to a lack of scientific evidence, and understanding of those cultures and civilizations and their traditions, these theories are still considered pseudo-historical claims.
Ew.
Boo. In Babylon and other earlier civilizations, the festivals and sacrifices that took place were based out of a primal fear that the sun might never return without human intervention or pleading to the gods of the sun. Human as well as animal sacrifice became an early tradition of these cultures during the winter solstice. tying this time of the year to blood sacrifice at the death of the sun in order to bring about its resurrection and the beginning of new life.
Hmm.
Right. The sun craves your blood. Feed it. These traditions also included huge national feasts and celebrations, thanking the sun for its light and provision the previous year and pleading for it to rise again to bring new life to the land and people.
Aww.
In more modern times, human sacrifice has generally been phased out and replaced with the Yule ham or Yule boar instead of a child and the consumption of a great feast.
I mean, we'll settle for a pig.
Fine.
But like, if ham. I can't have your child, I guess that'll be fine.
We're not eating Rosemary's Baby over there. I guess we'll have a turkey.
Children back then were skinny.
The other white meat. Edit that out. It's wildly inappropriate. Okay. Ancient Germanic peoples adopted the festival of Yule as the adaptation of earlier solstice holy days. Yule represented the time of greatest darkness and the longest night of the year and was connected to the sun god Thor, who was drawn through the sky on a chariot drawn by goats.
We don't like goats.
We don't like goats. I can't think about them too long. They make me gag. I had to work with them too long at the zoo. So they think that that partly gave rise to the tradition of the Yule goat.
As
the modern reindeer.
But wait a second.
Yeah.
Reindeer are real.
Yes.
Okay.
They are moose adjacent.
Okay. So the goat, like, morphed into what we know today as a reindeer?
The tradition kind of did. Because all of these celebrations, all the civilizations were so spread apart that it became, like, regional.
I see. Okay.
So more northern Slavic people, they had reindeer.
I see.
So maybe it's closer to a caribou.
They're little.
Goats are.
Reindeer are too, aren't they?
Are they? I don't think reindeer are little.
You keep going. I'm gonna look.
Okay. In preparation of this long and cold night, the cities would burn massive trees to provide long-lasting warmth for the large crowd. This tree is called a Yule log and is also reflected in other traditions and symbolized as candles, chestnuts, night-long burning fires, and in modern times, strings of light.
Aww. Okay. At the shoulder, a reindeer is about 3 to 4.5 feet tall.
At the shoulder?
Yeah.
Well, how long is its neck?
I don't know. That's not on my list of stats, Jenny.
Well, I mean,
they're long. They're like 6 to 7 feet long.
Wow, that is long.
Long boys.
Oh, a little long. That's a long.
And then
goat.
They've got really big antlers.
Okay.
But like a moose can be like 12 feet tall.
Moose are insane.
Yeah, they. My cousin is stationed in Alaska,
mm-hmm.
and they are not allowed to go hiking right now.
Why?
Because there is a ammo shortage, and they have to take protection with them to go hiking in case of elk, deer, moose. I don't know.
What?
Yeah.
Cloven animals?
Yeah, dude, they're mean.
I did know moose were mean because one time my sister, who used to live in Colorado, got trapped in a cabin because there was a moose outside that wouldn't leave and they couldn't go outside.
Yeah.
So that's all I know about. I know they're mean and I know they're large.
Yes, they are.
So it's probably for the best that we don't have Santa's moose. Just his reindeer. Overgrown goats.
Overgrown goats.
Okay. In preparation of this long and cold night, the cities would burn massive trees to provide long-lasting warmth for the large crowds. This tree, called a Yule log, is also reflected in other traditions and symbolizes candles, chestnuts, night-long burning fires, and in modern times, strings of light. The Germans also used the burning of fir trees in their winter solstice traditions in a ritual to the goddess Hertha, whose spirit would descend in the smoke and divine the future.
I love that.
I love it too.
It's very Phoenix-esque.
It really is. It's very Cassandra. It's very the Lady of Endor.
I love the motions right now. I wish others could see it. Ooh. Someday we'll become a video podcast and then everybody will get to see all the wild gestures that we make.
I'm going to have to stop wearing face masks and brush my hair.
Which is the main reason we are never going to be a video podcast. I really enjoy being in my pajamas.
Unless people literally beg.
Yeah.
For us to stream recording the episodes.
Right.
I don't know what's going to happen. Okay. A star on top of the tree, which in modern times is said to signify the Star of Bethlehem, was see? No, we're putting stuff.
The lights are going on.
Not the Christmas lights. traditionally, it was an 8-pointed star, which in ancient symbolism is generally attributed to the sun god Nimrod, our old pal Nimrod, back at it again. as well as later sun god adaptations such as Horus, Osiris, and Mithra.
Nimrod can join the likes of Mary Shelley in our Grim Gang mascot club.
Yeah. I can't take him seriously.
I know.
I'm sure he's a sun god. He is very regal and poised.
I'm sure Nimrod meant something completely different back when they gave him that name.
I'm sure. But in my mind, all I can think of is I'm a sun god.
Yeah.
That's all I can imagine.
Yeah, and his dad is beating the crap out of him, you're worthless!
Why aren't you more like your sister, the moon goddess?
Yeah.
In cases where a 5-pointed variety is used, it's simply a feminization of the deity, as the pentagram is an ancient symbol of the feminine divine beginning with Tammuz in Babylon, and later as Isis and Venus. The celebration of both the male and female divine was the result of the overarching theme of the sun god being reborn to the mother goddess. Therefore, both sun and moon traditions are merged during the winter solstice. Around 4000 BC, the ancient Egyptians adopted the tradition of the winter solstice as a celebration of the rebirth of Horus, daughter of Isis, and set the length of their festivals as 12 days, reflecting the 12 divisions of the Egyptian calendar of the sun. In celebration, they decorated their homes and buildings with greenery and used palm fronds with 12 shoots as a symbol of the completed year, based on the belief that a healthy frond grows one shoot per month.
I just love the fact that everything Christians do to celebrate Christmas is pagan.
It really is.
Every single thing.
It's so purposeful. They tried to absorb all of these other pagan
beliefs, religions, practices, rituals to make them their own.
Yeah, to put everybody into one moral umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Holy Roman Catholic Church acted as a government. Mm-hmm. And so they used that to control all the people. Anyway, the Mesopotamians also celebrated the winter solstice during a 12-day festival dedicated to the ancient god Marduk. Christianity later adopted these traditions in 567 AD as a festival lasting from December 25th, the rebirth of the sun, until Epiphany. And we now know this as the 12 freaking days of Christmas.
Yeah. Sorry.
In a bear tree.
Okay.
In the 4th century, Nicolaus of Myra, Bishop of Myra, was attributed as being a miracle worker and humanitarian.
Mm-hmm.
An early legend stated that Nicholas, in an effort to prevent young girls from being forced into prostitution, threw 3 sacks of gold through the window of their father, while other legends stated that he dropped them down the chimney. Am I crossing lines?
No, yeah. It's not that. I don't go too deep into it.
Although the origin of the modern name mistletoe is not universally agreed upon, the most likely explanation is the Germanic mistdung, translated as dung stick.
You kissed under the dong stick?
Remember the poop-covered stick conversation? That So the Norse used mistletoe as a symbol of fertility, which marked the beginning of its use as a symbol of romance.
Oh.
The Norse and other pagan cultures believed that the fluid within the berries was literally the semen of the gods.
Ew. That's not what I wanted to know.
It's so yucky.
Yuck.
It's yuck. I could do away without that tradition.
Yeah, we'll just ignore that. Act like it didn't happen.
I have not been able to look at mistletoe the same since I wrote this episode. The use of the winter solstice to symbolize the birth of Christ was merely a modern Roman adaptation of the ancient Babylonian and Egyptian tradition of the birth of the son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Son of God. Who, after death, was raised back to life to bring the promise of a new life to the world in the tradition of Nimrod and Horus. It is generally accepted by biblical scholars and confirmed in the biblical timeline that Christ was actually born on the Feast of Tabernacles in 4 AD, which fell on or around September 28th or 29th.
Mm.
However, to grant some credibility to the winter solstice as an important date in the birth of Christ, if we count back the period of gestation, 288 days, it would arrive precisely on December 25th.
Ah.
So, therefore, it is logical to assume that both the early church and later Christians may have, in fact, held some sort of celebration on observance of December 25th, although certainly not as his birthday, but his conception.
Oh.
So, in summation, Yule was a terrifying holiday filled with blood sacrifice, but also a really beautiful reminder that balance returns to us in time if we keep the faith and believe in the light that was stolen by the church and then banned by the church and then stolen by the church again and then reinstated. Merry Christmas. Don't sacrifice anybody.
What a good lesson. Thanks, Jeannie.
Remember, that's all I have. This is the only wisdom I have to give you.
Don't sacrifice people.
Don't sacrifice people. Don't kiss under the mistletoe. And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Happy crisis.
Happy crisis. Ah, good job. I like learning about the Wiccan Wheel of the Year.
Yule's a big one to cover.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big one.
It was good. Good job.
I'm excited. I'm already looking at, like, 2021.
Oh, yeah.
To see which episodes air on, like, which of the mm-hmm. pagan holidays.
Yeah.
So I will be bringing more to you.
Yeah, I have my calendar, or my planner, I'll show it to you later. I have the entire next year, like, not planned out yet, but I have a space for all of the episodes.
Oh my god.
So that I can plan, instead of it being, like, 2 days before and be like, what am I gonna cover?
Okay, listen, Taylor's really trying to plan ahead, so if you have any special requests for things you want to hear,
get it now.
You need to send it to us before 2021.
Yes, you have 10 days. Something.
Two, one week. Yeah, 1 week.
1 week. And go.
Better get to emailing.
Better fast type.
Hi, my name's Hannah, and I'm the host of the Murder Bucket podcast, where I talk about murder, paranormal activity, abductions, kidnapping, and weird stuff. I have new episodes come out every Monday, so be sure to follow me on social media. Facebook at BucketMurd, Instagram at MurdBucket, and Twitter at TheMurderBucket.
Okay. So I'm going to, we're kind of cross lines a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to cover St. Nicholas and Krampus.
Oh my God. Ew, I love. Okay.
Get ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. So I start out very similar to your little intro. Just like melding of the brains.
Yeah.
Christmas in the Midwest United States is filled with glittering lights, cold temperatures, a little snow if we're lucky, which we got today, and the hope that a fat elderly man with 8 reindeer sneaks into your home at night and leave little gifties to good girls and boys.
When you looked at it objectively like that,
it's like,
it's a weird tradition.
It is weird.
It's weird.
It's weird to teach children that, like, it's okay if this man comes into our home in the middle of the
but
night.
But only Santa. Anybody uh-huh. else, we're in Indiana, we get the shotgun.
Yeah. As I suspect, Jenny will delve into some pre-Christian traditions around this time of year, but as a gentle reminder, many cultures and religions have been celebrating holidays that embody the Christmas spirit for a long time.
Long time.
A man named Nicholas Bari lived in the 4th century, specifically was born in the year 270.
Whoa.
Which, like, I had to pause for a moment and read that year a couple of times.
270.
And died on December 6th, 343.
How do we know?
I don't know, but all of my sources were very specific about this death date. His birth date was a little bit meh, but death date was pretty.
I think it's wild that we, even like that far, thousands of years back, that we marked birth and death as significant milestones that needed to be documented.
Wild.
Wild.
They said different calendars have come and gone, like the Julian calendar and all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's different dates depending on what calendar you're looking at, but most agree that December 6th was the death date.
Wow. So okay.
I know.
Interesting.
He was also known as Saint Nicholas of Myra. He lived in what we know now as Turkey. Nicholas was known for his habit of secret gift giving. One tale of his generosity goes like this, and Jenny covered it a little bit in her story, but I'm going to go ahead and read my paragraph just so I don't miss anything. Nicholas was born to a wealthy Christian parents, and after they died, he spent his time finding ways to do good with their money. He heard of a man who was once wealthy, but lost his fortune to plotting and the envy of Satan. I don't know what that means, but I'm guessing gambling. Sounds right to me.
The envy of Satan?
Plotting and envy of Satan.
Like, envious of Satan. My brain went the other way. Like, can you imagine being so rad that Satan's like, man, I want to be just like him.
That's that, like, rock and roll?
Yeah.
God, I have no idea. This man had three daughters, but they had no dowry for, but he had no dowry for any of them. In this time, with no husband, your only choice in life was to become a sex worker.
Oh.
Nicholas did not want these girls to suffer because their father had some kind of a problem. So one night, under the cover of darkness, Nicholas threw a bag of money into the window of the house. The next day, the father married off his oldest daughter. The next night, Nicholas did the same thing, and the father married off his middle daughter. On the third night, the father waited up to see who the sneaky gift giver was, and he saw Nicholas, and Nicholas made him swear not to tell a soul who gave him the money. He paid the dowry for the youngest daughter and went in off into the night.
Oh.
Nicholas was known for his many miracles. There are stories of resurrections and saving children from being murdered, and he would also become as Nicholas the Wonder Worker. Which I just loved that.
That's a catchy name.
Like, I am hereby replacing Santa Claus with Nicholas the Wonder Worker.
Agree.
Nicholas died on December 6th, which is now known as St. Nicholas Day. St. Nicholas is the patron saint of sailors, merchants, archers, repentant thieves, sex workers, children, brewers, pawnbrokers, unmarried people, and students.
Damn.
I know. I was like, damn, I'm not Catholic, but I kind of wish I was so that I could have St. Nicholas be my patron saint.
Right.
How do they get chosen? Like, how do you choose who your patron saint is?
I
remember that being a big deal in, like, middle school when, like, all the Catholics in school would be like, my patron saint is blah, 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 blah.
I was like, how do you know? I thought it was just the saint you're named after.
I don't know.
Oh, Google machine.
Tell us things.
How do Catholics pick their saint? I should email Patrick. I'm assuming his saint is Patrick.
I hope so.
Patron saints are typically chosen because they have some connection to a particular region, profession, or family.
Oh.
Christians also can choose to adopt a saint as their patron saint if they bear the name or if they took the saint's name during the sacrament of confirmation.
Huh.
Okay.
That's a ritual I am not familiar with.
Do you get a new name?
I don't.
Can somebody Catholic email us? I have questions.
Yeah, we need to know. All right. Okay, so he is the patron saint of all of those types of people. His reputation evolved from His reputation evolved among the faithful, as was common for early Christian saints, and his legendary habit of secret gift giving gave rise to the traditional model of Santa Claus.
Oh.
And I just think that that's really beautiful. Of course, folklore is always about balance, good and evil, and character foils, which brings me to my meaty, juicy topic of the day, Krampus.
Yes. It sounds mean in German.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Folklorists and anthropologists believe his origins begin in the pagan celebrations found around the winter solstice.
Yeah.
They also believe that he is either a type of elf or he could be an evolution of an elvine character, which makes me think of fae. Like, I wonder if he is a type of fairy.
Oh. Oh, that's an excellent question. What does he do? Does he snatch? What does he do?
I'll tell you, but yes, he does a lot of, like, fairy-type shenanigans.
Okay.
So I think maybe it's possible.
Fairy shenanigans.
Yeah. Some folklorists and anthropologists also point to satyrs and fauns in Greek mythology as well because of the way he looks. The earliest tales of Krampus seem to come from the Austrian Alps region in Germany, predating Christianity.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me of Heidi. Do you read Heidi?
No.
Oh, it's a classic.
I know the story.
It's a little girl grows up on the side of a mountain with a crotchety old man, and it's beautiful.
Maybe I don't know the story. I think it's cultural, so
Oh, that could be.
I have a visual, but I don't think I have to know the story.
Okay.
Some people say that Krampus is actually from Norse mythology, and is the son of the goddess Hel. Hel is the daughter of Loki, who rules the underworld. However, this connection seems to be relatively recent.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. The word Krampus originates from the old High German word for claw, which is Krampen.
Ooh, der Krampen.
Yeah, that. Where Santa Claus / Saint Nick is known for his generosity and rewarding good children, Krampus is responsible for punishing bad children.
Is that where we get Santa, like, claws?
Oh, maybe.
Santa Krampus?
Santa Krampus! every time I think of, like, Santa Claus, I think of Nightmare Before Christmas.
Claws!
Sandy Claws.
Sandy Claws.
Oh, heavens. Okay. I think you should teach Theo about Krampus. I think it would be a good nighttime story.
But he's going to do the thing where I walk out of his room and he's going to be like, Jenny.
Hey, Skirt.
Jenny.
It's very good cop, bad cop vibe. So.
Yeah. If you're good, Santa Claus will bring you gifts. But if you're bad.
Yeah. Krampus is sometimes viewed as the anti-Christmas, but in most folklore tales, he's actually a companion of Saint Nick. So they work together.
Good cop, bad cop.
Yes. Tales of Krampus and Saint Nick normally revolve around the 5th and 6th of December, as the 6th is Saint Nicholas Day, and the 5th is called Krampusnacht.
Krampusnacht.
So that's very similar to our Christmas Day and Christmas Eve.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. In some tales, Saint Nick and Krampus actually travel together. When they enter the house, they split up, and Nick goes through the list and gives all the good children presents, while Krampus goes upstairs and scares the living shit out of children who are bad.
My dude, Kramp.
In other tales, Saint Nick goes first and leaves a lump of coals in the shoes of bad children, and Krampus comes in afterward and punishes those children with the lumps of coal.
Do you know that that's still a tradition that is practiced in, like, very, like, Midwest Catholic families?
Yeah, well, that's where we get stockings.
Oh, I'm talking about, like, putting a shoe out on the 6th of December.
Oh, really? Yeah. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the stockings is, like, Santa and Krampus come and, like, stuff shoes, but we keep them inside.
How cool!
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Who knew?
Okay.
So Krampus is a very scary dude visually, and he is known as the devil or demon of Christmas.
God.
Yes. He is covered in dark brown or black fur. In some depictions, after Christianity gets a hold of him, he is a reddish tone and is very reminiscent of the Christian devil. He is described as half man, half goat, so he stands on 2 hooven feet.
Sounds a little Baphomet-y.
Mm-hmm. He has 2 curling horns that grow out of his head.
That's my dude.
He has incredibly uneven, sharp fangs.
Oh, you don't gotta call them out like that. They don't have fucking orthodontists.
Orthodontist, not high on the list.
No. He's very busy.
He's very busy punishing children. His tongue is unsettlingly long and gives me really uncomfy sexual vibes, especially because he's always with children. I don't like it. Like, we could do without it.
Uncomfortably long.
It's gross.
Well, what do you want him to do? He doesn't have even teeth to keep it wrapped up in his mouth.
It doesn't need to be that long.
Well, he can't take... Giraffes had unreasonably long tongues.
Well, they have teeth to keep it in their heads. We need to choose one.
Okay, well, somebody got a giraffe braces and nobody thought about Krampus.
He got left out. Okay, he is adorned with chains and bells, and the chains...
He just sounds like a goth raver.
Yes, Uh-huh, absolutely. I think that he would be tattooed today if he was...
Yeah.
The chains are thought to be symbolic of the church attempting to bind the devil.
Oh, interesting.
Let's not bind the devil. I think that that's a bad idea.
I think if you just leave the devil alone, he'll leave you alone.
Yeah, and just like mind your P's and Q's.
It's
be good.
The devil's like geese. Don't antagonize the goose, and the goose won't antagonize you.
Yeah, no. He also carries a basket or a large bag around to carry away children who have misbehaved. So Santa also has a big bag, so they give Krampus a big bag too.
That is some fairy shit.
Uh-huh. If you're curious about where he takes the children, he takes them to hell.
What? Little.
Yeah. Good children get little gifties, bad children straight to hell.
You get one chance and one chance only.
They're buddy boy. if he doesn't take the poorly behaved children with him to hell, he will either beat them with sticks.
What?
Drown them.
What?
Or eat them.
My this is a God.
Demon with no chill.
Okay. And Santa's just like, yeah, come with me.
Yeah.
Kind of makes you think a little differently about Santa Claus there, doesn't it?
Yes. So in modern history, in the late 1800s, the postcard industry experienced a boom that led the way for Krampus postcards, and they were called Krampuskarten.
That was good pronunciation.
Thank you.
Krampuskarten.
I tried. Postcards marked Gruß von... You jinxed me.
Sorry.
Gruß von Krampus. Greetings from Krampus.
Oh, yeah.
Showed a distressing depiction of Krampus, such as him stuffing distressed children into his bag, preparing to hit children with a bunch of sticks, running after children with his sticks, or leading them away in chains, or carrying them off in his giant bag.
Well, good God.
Yep. And they would send these cards to
Merry
each other.
Merry Christmas! You better act right.
I want to bring this back.
You know, this really does lend some credence to that, like, you better watch out. You better not cry.
Uh-huh.
Because Krampus will beat the fuck out of you and drag you to hell.
Yes.
Cool.
Uh-huh. Like, you're not just getting, like, a lump of coal. Like, your life is in danger.
Right.
Here.
You're not just getting a dirty gift.
No. Mm-hmm. You will be no more.
God.
In 1932, the tradition of Krampus was banned in the aftermath of the election. The Dollfuss regime under the clerical fascist Fatherland Front and the Christian Social Party are, of course, the ones that found issue with our Krampus.
What? That was so many words.
I know. That was a lot. Basically, the government was like, we don't like this guy. Ban him.
They're like, he sounds a little intense.
A little sus. So in the 1950s, the government distributed pamphlets called Krampus is an Evil Man.
Okay.
And it was just banned, very similar to what you were saying earlier about the joys of Christmas. They then decided to ban this side of Christmas as well.
I mean, I think that's a little more understandable.
Yeah.
But damn.
Yeah. In recent years, however, the legend of Krampus has made a comeback.
Yeah.
Now people celebrate Krampusnacht openly in some parts of Germany. In fact, adults might dress up as Krampus to frighten children in their homes. To this day.
Wonder if you can, like, hire a Krampus.
Oh, there's not a short supply of them.
Okay. I love that.
Krampuslauf.
L-A-U-F?
Yeah.
Krampuslauf.
Thank you. Is a similar but separate tradition that translates to Krampus Run.
Mm-hmm.
Krampuslauf isn't tied to a specific day, but during this tradition, grown men will get drunk AF, don their Krampus costumes, and run the streets to scare and chase children.
Hell yes.
I want to go.
Hell yes.
Please let me be there.
Can the Fort Wayne City Council please send me an email? I have an idea. Totally unrelated.
Be hilarious. I was like dying laughing like while I was doing this research. And I was like, this is why I should never have children.
I just imagine that chains are not an easy thing to jog with.
No, I'm sure they're not. I'm sure these guys are fit.
Oh, wait. Wait.
Maybe? I don't know.
A bunch of hot, drunk dudes running down the street with chains?
No.
This sounds like suddenly not Christmas.
It's like 50 Shades got a little bit in a different way.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Edit that the fuck out.
Okay. In 2004, art director and graphic designer Monte Beauchamp
published a book of Krampus postcards. He also organized an art show inspired by Krampus.
Cute.
And this is what brought the Krampus legend to America. So really, we didn't know much about him unless you had like really strong German roots.
Sure.
Until 2004.
Sure.
Janet Feinger from Philadelphia dresses up as Krampus during December and told NPR, "If everything is sweet and beautiful and lovely and the most wonderful time of year, some people, like me, start to get a little nauseated. Want a little salt to go with the sugar," she says. "I think there are a lot of people out there who enjoy the idea of having a little salt."
Who is she?
Her name is Janet Feinger, and she lives in Philadelphia. Janet, you are a spirit animal.
Want to marry her. She sounds amazing.
I didn't put this in my notes. She saves her bones from, like, rib bones, and bleaches them.
Yes!
And hangs them from her patio.
Hell yes! Have you seen, people can make some sick-ass wind chimes with rib bones.
Oh, she's like, it stinks, but...
you bleach them!
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Hold on, but wait, now I'm mad why I don't hang my rib bones.
I think that your apartment complex might find issue with that.
I can email Jess. She'll be fine.
All right. All right. You put an email in.
Okay.
All right. So last but not least, I have a poem for you.
Yeah.
It is a little long, but it's worth it. I promise. Okay, stick with me. It was posted by Scott A. Johnson in 2011, I think. "'Twas the night before Christmas, and deep in our bunker, my mom, dad, and sister, and I did hunker. The streetlights were dark, no carolers sang, not even the blessings of church bells rang. And beneath our beds, we all huddled tight and hoped he would pass our home tonight. Everyone knows of Jolly St. Nick and the gifts he brings on his single night's trick. But the presents and baubles and candy and toys that he brings every Christmas to good girls and boys... But it wasn't the man with the red suit and white beard whose annual Christmas visit we feared. Outside in the snow, we heard a howl and crunching of ice and animal growl. I heard it sniff at by our window pane and throaty laugh and saw the red eyes lick like flame."
Ugh.
"My sister and I both stared horrified and prayed that the creature did not get inside. But a moment later, a thundering pound turned to our door into splinters all over the ground. I screamed as the creature into our home came, this horrible beast, Von Krampus by name. He was massively tall, at least 7 feet, from the points of his horns to his hoof-shodden feet. Across his back, what I mistook for a coat was the shaggy long hair of a filthy dead goat."
Oh my God!
"And I cried and I swallowed with terrified pangs at the sight of this wickedly razor-sharp fangs. His claw-fingered hands looked ready for pain, and in one... was a bullwhip, the other a chain." Yeah. "He growled and sneered and laughed for a while, and then he pointed at us and said, 'Naughty,' with a smile.
Ooh!
My sister and I both shook with fear. What terrible things had we done this year? We tried to be good and thought we had succeeded. We minded our manners, no punishment needed. We both made good grades. Neither one of us lied. He or cheated or stole. We had nothing to hide. But Krampus still came with his evil heart black to steal us away, stuff us in his sack, to take us away to his punishment cave where all the bad children forever his slaves. We turned to our parents behind them to hide, but they shook our heads and sadly stepped aside. 'You must face the music,' my father lamented. Von Krampus then laughed, his expression demented. My sister and I hugged each other tight and prayed that someone could save us that night. And just when we had given up... and all hope was gone, there came a loud clatter from out in the lawn. With a tinkle of a bell, our spirits did lift. Von Krampus snarled. In the air, he did hit sniff. On the wind came the scent of holly and pine, of gingerbread cookies and holiday wine. In the doorway he stood, in his suit bright red, St. Nicholas came. We cried out and said, 'Save us, St. Nicholas. There has been a mistake. We've been good all year. You can't let him take... Hold on, hold on, not so fast,' he raised his great hand. 'There is something happening that you don't understand. Von Krampus did come, that much is true, but the demon of Christmas did not come for you.' At the demon we stared, both of us confused. He had to be here for somebody, but who? When I started to think, all became clear who had been the naughtiest of all that year. Well, Mommy drank vodka by pitchers and glasses, and Daddy watched porn and cheated on taxes.
and mommy spent far too much time on her hair, and daddy had something called an affair. And mommy spent all of my birthday money, and daddy called sister his own secret honey. The more I thought, the more I understood. We children were fine, but the parents were no good. But Krampus takes children, my father protested, and Santa's face twisted toward the man he detested. Christmas time is for children and gifts to be given. You took their innocence, and that cannot be forgiven. You scared them into silence, their souls you did twist, and to top it all off, you told them I didn't exist. For your lifelong naughtiness, the piper must be paid, and set Krampus upon them with a dismissive wave. The adults screamed as they went into his sack, and we cried until Santa patted my back. What's wrong? Asked St. Nicholas. I thought you'd be happy to be rid of those people who treated you crappy. We are, I sniffed, sincere as could be, but what is to become of my sister and me? St. Nicholas smiled and laughed loud and deep, as did Krampus, a sound that still haunts my sleep. Why, you'll come with me, he said with great joy. I have great use for a good little girl and boy. You'll come with me to my workshop and work with my elves. I promise that you will enjoy yourselves. I'll teach you my secrets, my toy-making ways, and you'll take over when I've ended my days. But, said my sister, what about him? Won't Krampus be lonely? She scratched his chin. I wish to thank him, and I know the way. I will go with him and be his protege. And so, from Kris Kringle, I learned to make toys and my sister to torture naughty girls and boys. Oh. And every evening from that point thereafter, my dreams were full of parent screams and my sister's laughter. And so this ends our happy Christmas story. If you're nice and not naughty, you've no need to worry. But if your heart's full of coal and you've got an evil mister, try to hide, but you'll soon meet Krampus and my sister.
What in the fuck?
I know. I read it so many times.
That was just a roller coaster.
A wild ride.
From start to finish. God dang.
Damn.
Taylor.
I know. I love it. I love it with all of my soul.
Well, shit.
I love it. There's nothing about it I don't like.
Yeah. No, I'm into it.
Wait.
I want to be Krampus's protege.
I know you do. Says the Scorpio.
Well, I didn't know he could snatch bad people.
I didn't either. That's the whole point of the story.
I would use my powers for good.
Would you?
No,
I didn't think so.
Wow, thank you so much. That was excellent.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Oh, that got dark really quick. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Do you have a bright and shiny?
Yes, I do. Gosh, there's so many. Really? Can my bright and shiny be Christmas? Because literally there is not much else in the world that gives me as much joy as Christmas. Because it's the time where everybody treats everybody else the way that they're supposed to be treated year round.
Agree.
Uh-huh. And I love to see it, and I love when it happens. I love when Starbucks drive-thrus get the, like, pay behind you thing going. I like when people pay for others' food at the grocery store. I like when people help old ladies cross the street. And maybe, you know, because Christmas is today, but we just try to treat everybody like it's Christmas time for the whole year.
I love that.
Okay.
I think so.
What's your bright and shiny?
My bright and shiny is that 8 days from reality time, I will be on a little family getaway, and I'm so excited. I can't wait. And we're going to be on a beach, and it's still going to be like a high of 65, which is like my happy place, but it's still going to be beach times.
I love that.
And I'm very excited. Yay.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. We hope you enjoyed our theme this month.
If you have other themes that you think we should invest in.
I mean, we would love to hear about it.
Let us know.
If you have a oogie spooky story, maybe just, I don't know, if you want to share something with us, DM us on Twitter, Instagram. You can write us an email, littlebitgrim@gmail.com.
If you've ever been beaten up by Krampus, let us know.
Oh, please let me know about it. And then let me know what you did to deserve that shit.
Let us know if you know somebody who deserves to be beaten up by Krampus.
Oh,
we might go rogue.
Oh, let us know. We want to know.
I just want to know what happened. We're nosy. Tell us everything. Follow us on all of the social medias, mm-hmm. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You know how to find us. I hope you spend this day in the way that makes your heart happy.
Yes. And send us pictures of your Christmas. Send us pictures of your Christmas tree, of your family opening Christmas. It brings us so much joy and happiness and love, and we'll share it on the Instagram stories.
Goodbye.